Morning, everyone. It's an early morning for a wonderful strategic planning meeting this morning. I'm going to hand it over directly to my left, to our CAO, and we shall begin.
Thank you very much, Warden. Okay, we don't have any people arriving for the meeting. The first thing I want to say, just for purposes for residents that are watching this, there has been some questions as to what is Schedule A and Schedule B. And Schedule A is actually the same as Schedule B, but it's just in a different format. Schedule A is a list of all of the objectives and then the potential actions that have been pulled together through the strategic planning process, which includes potential actions that come from residents as well as from council. And then Appendix B is the same document, but it's in an Excel format. So this is the working document that we're now going to be working on today. So this is really the bridge between your strategic plan and your budget.
Right. So CEO, did that request or comment come directly to the municipal office or no?
No, it's something that's on Facebook.
So, yeah, so I would suggest to our residents, if they do have any types of any questions at all, actually, just to reach out to us so that we can answer them in a timely manner.
Yep.
And CEO, I'll just ask you to share your screen on Teams so that it will be recorded as well.
I beg your pardon. Let me just do that quickly now.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that the correct information is getting out there. And like I say, if there are any questions like that, they should come directly to Nicole.
Okay, so on this document that you're seeing here, let me just get the visibility so it's a little bit easier to see everything. So I just want to just quickly talk about color codes here. The orange items that you see here will be items that management have pulled into this document from our last year's budget. So these are items that have been previously approved by council, and we identify the year that they were approved on the right-hand side in column E. The items that are in yellow are items that management are bringing forward as a request to go into budget this year. So what we're asking from council is that we go through each item, potential action item, and that you make a decision as to whether or not you want to have this included in your budget deliberations, keeping in mind that for all the actions that you add on here, that's something that management has to go back and come up with high-level priced estimates. So I'm requesting that you keep in mind that we don't want 149 action items. It'll be impossible for management to handle that.
Yes.
So we need to just keep that in mind as we're going through. So let's get going on it. So the first item here is complete an updated climate action plan, including a multi-year implementation. So you'll see that we've got comments in each of the blocks here. So management have gone through this, and we'll be identifying some comments there for your consideration. So this is an item that's actually ongoing. With our arrangement that we have with Clean Foundation, and that'll be going for the next 2 years, I believe. Is that correct, Val? Yeah.
Okay.
Next item here, update a coastal management strategy and identify and priority education planning and policy measures to address coastal vulnerability. Once again, this is something that's ongoing through our planning department. So we've already instituted coastal protection criteria within our land use bylaw and our municipal planning strategy. Our planning officer is somebody that is going to be monitoring this on an ongoing basis to identify if it's something that we want to modify going into the future. Next one here, establish formal agreements or procurement pathways to enable the municipality to transition to 100% renewable energy by 2027, including the development of an annual reporting mechanism. So this is actually in progress as well. So as many of you know here, or some residents might not know, we've got the EV stations in place. We've got the solar panels on the roof. But what not a lot of people understand is we've actually signed an agreement with Renewal Energy, who are going to be putting up a wind turbine farm near Liverpool, and they're going to be supplying 100% renewable energy. So once that farm kicks in, which is anticipated to be 2027, Marcia, all of the energy consumption by the municipality ourselves will be 100% renewable.
Yeah, and CEO, was there an opportunity, and I believe we had discussed this before, for residents to also be able to
Renewal offers a program, so it's not something they come to us for.
Right.
They have to contact Renewal directly.
Okay.
But Renewal are marketing that throughout the province.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah. Next item, develop partnerships with external organizations, e.g. Clean Foundation, to access grants or programs that support local environmental and energy efficient initiatives. We're recommending that the council consider rewording this to develop partnerships with external organizations to access grants or programs that support municipal operational efficiencies. And you can see 1.2.B.2 for homeowner initiatives.
Great.
So I'll need some direction from council on that.
Yeah. So any issues with rewording of that section? Hearing none, consensus to move forward with that.
Okay. Are you going to be recording these, Nicole? Okay, thanks. Next item, B2, initiate a joint waste-related research or pilot project with Divert Nova Scotia Region 6 to assess opportunities for improved waste diversion. Management are recommending investigate joint waste-related opportunities. So waste is quite a big topic. It's not just Region 6 that we deal with. There's quite a number of stakeholders within waste, and we're talking to quite a few of those stakeholders on an ongoing basis. Are you okay with that wording?
So the rewording is just to be a bit more broad.
Yeah.
Yes. Consensus for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Next item here, conduct structured engagement with Nova Scotia Power to document opportunities, challenges, and priority grid upgrades required to support renewable energy projects. This is really a duplication of the actual objective. So we're just recommending we delete that.
Okay. I'm just looking around the table to see if there are any questions or comments, or Deputy Warden.
So for the duplicate, where else in the document is it, I guess?
Excuse me.
Well, immediately to the left, the objective.
That's right.
1.2A.
Oh, okay. Yep.
It's just a slight rewording.
Yep.
Next item. Implement.
Okay, so we're good with that, everyone? Consensus? Okay.
Okay. Implement energy usage tracking systems across major municipal facilities and identify opportunities for improved energy efficiency. So this is something that's in progress. We do this on an ongoing basis. 1.2B1.
Excuse me.
Identify priority locations to expand public EV charging infrastructure. So we're recommending that we remove this. We already did this for all of our municipal properties. We do not have authority over private properties.
So just help me understand. So if we remove, why would we remove it? Why wouldn't we just put complete next to it?
Yeah, I mean,
just so
if,
that
if you'd
we
like,
can, we can keep
totally
track of ones that are in progress, ones that are complete.
Right.
We can totally do that.
Yeah. Everyone else feel about that?
Idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. B2, develop a municipal program to support homeowners in adopting renewable energy, energy efficient technologies, e.g. tax incentives, retrofits, solar programs. So we don't have a problem with that. That's something that we'll continue doing. Convert all municipal streetlights to LED and track resulting reductions in electricity use and greenhouse gas emissions. We recommend we explore this, reward this, to explore options for ownership of more energy-efficient streetlights.
Makes sense. Everyone's good?
Yeah.
Okay, consensus on that?
Okay, one point, emergency management, 1.3A1. Conduct a comprehensive fire services needs assessment, including equipment condition, staffing models, response times, and training gaps. So as council's aware, and some residents might not be aware, we've just hired a new administrator of protective services. So when she starts the job, then this will be one of her primary tasks.
Mm-hmm.
1.3A2, develop a multi-year fire services modernization plan outlining capital investments, training and enhancements, and operational improvements. Once again, that'll be our administrator of protective services that'll be doing that as a priority. Now, just coming on to one of the items from our previous budget. So we have an agreement in place with Shelburne Fire Department whereby we contribute 50% of the capital cost of fire trucks. So this year we replaced a fire truck, and every 5 years or so they're scheduling a replacement of one of their vehicles. So the next one is slated for 2029-30. And that's actually something that's a legal agreement, so we can't really change that at all.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Councillor Richardson?
In that review of the fire service, are we including the contracts we have with the towns?
It'll include everything.
So it will include that?
Yeah, it's going to include everything. Essentially, the instructions that we're going to be giving our administrator of protective services is to take a look at the fire review document that was generated by Dwayne Hunt and go through all of the items and concerns addressed in that document. And then come up with a multi-year game plan on how we're going to address all of that.
For all of the above.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that we were including that.
Yeah. For me, the number one concern is insurance. And in Barrington, we know that they've had issues there with insurance companies not wanting to do payouts on structures that have burnt down. And they've been going after the fire department to say, you didn't have enough qualified people at the site, that type of thing, right? So we want to make sure that we don't have any of those issues here.
Okay.
Wow.
1.3B1, develop a shared regional emergency response plan with specific actions for environmental hazards such as floods, severe storms, and wildfires. We're recommending a rewording to continually update the REMO emergency response plan. So we already have a plan in place, but it's a living document in the sense that we're always updating it. We're updating contacts in it. We're updating our essentially response plans to emergencies going forward. Mm-hmm. This is something that's actually an agreement between the five units in Shelburne County, and it's been managed by Barrington.
Mm-hmm. CEO, I'll just ask you to go back to 1.3A4. You just missed that one.
Okay. Consensus around, just before that, consensus around the table for that with the rewording? Okay, and then CAO.
Okay, thank you very much, Nicole. Number A4, Fire Services Operating Reserve Allotment. One of the things that council has done in the past with our economic development is you've set aside an amount of money in order for our Director of Economic Development to bring projects to council on an as-needed basis for you to consider with staff reports that she brings forward. Because we don't know yet what our Administrative Protective Services is going to be required in spending for, because she's only starting right at the beginning of the budget season, we're asking for an allotment for that, for fire services, because she's going to need budget to tackle quite a few things. We're not identifying what the amount is right now. That's something we need to talk with her as soon as she comes on board. So when budget deliberations start, then that's something that you as council can discuss.
Councillor Richardson? And to that point, I would assume that could be a fairly substantial sum.
I honestly don't know the answer to that. because I haven't had my first meeting with her yet. She starts on January 6th. But, you know, like, for example, she's going to be doing training. So one of her goals is going to be to try and get as many of the firefighters up to class one. So she's actually going to need breathing apparatus with face seals for the different firefighters. I can't remember what the cost of that is, but each one is quite expensive.
That's why I put forward that that be a substantial sum, because it is very expensive, anything fire-related.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see what
the
needs are.
It's the whole range.
Yeah, and discuss it at budget.
And what we also don't know is that the province right now are in the process of completing their fire review.
Yeah.
So we don't know what the minimum standards or regulations are that they're going to impose on us. And so as a municipality, we'll have to react to that. And there may or may not be budget associated with that.
Yeah, that's what
something we have to react to.
Thinking about as well is whether or not there would be some funding available provincially.
We'll find out.
Okay, so at this point, we're good with including this for the budget, that line, yeah.
Okay, 1.3B2, is that correct, Nicole? create regional resource inventory, identifying equipment, shelters, personnel, and communication tool available across municipal partners. We're recommending we remove this. That's something that's already covered in the REMO plan.
Good. I'm not seeing any questions or comments on that. So good.
Okay. B3, pursue regional grants for emergency management equipment, climate resilience projects, and community preparedness initiative. Once again, we're recommending we remove this because Barrington are the managers of the REMO, and that's something that they will be doing. They'll be looking for funding opportunities directly as managers.
Okay. Looks like we're good. Mm-hmm.
All right, now we're moving into community pride. A1, develop an annual multi-generational recreational program series, for example, community walks, art workshops, international sports days, delivered through partnership with local schools, libraries, and community centers. We're recommending rewording to develop an annual multi-generational recreation program series. So just keeping it broad, because that's something that Adam and his team done. Do on an ongoing basis.
Okay, sorry, I'm just reading it.
Yeah.
Reflecting on it and all that good stuff. Are we good with that?
Yeah.
Everyone is good?
Okie dokie. A2, create a community space enhancement program that offers small municipal grants or material support to improve gathering spaces such as playgrounds, halls, beaches, and trails. So we're saying we should remove this because it's already covered in our grants to organizations policy.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay.
B2, develop and host two municipally branded signature events, for example, fall cultural festivals, spring coastal art celebration, featuring local creators, food producers, and underrepresented cultural groups. We're recommending a rewording to develop and host municipally branded signature events incorporating cultural and inclusive elements to represent diversity in our diverse community.
I like the rewording of that. Mm-hmm. Any questions, comments on that one? Oh, good.
B2, offer logistical and promotional support packages for community-led events occurring in shoulder seasons, including access to municipal venues, equipment, and marketing channels. We're recommending we remove this because it's already a part of our events planning process.
Okay. Good. Mm-hmm.
We're good with that. B3, partner with Indigenous, African, Nova Scotian, and newcomer community groups to co-design culturally grounded event programming to be incorporated into annual municipal events. Once again, we're recommending we remove that because it's covered in newly suggested B1 language.
Right.
Okay. C1, launch a coordinated marketing campaign that highlights local heritage sites, trails, waterfront assets, and cultural destinations using digital storytelling and visitor itineraries. We're recommending we remove it because it's duplicating objective wording that we already have there.
Okay.
Just just as a matter of interest, we already have an online mapping system on our website that covers everything.
Okay.
Develop a unified wayfinding and interpretive signage program that promotes natural, cultural, and recreational assets throughout the municipality. We're recommending we remove it because it's something we already have.
We have the interpretive signage, but I guess, does that speak to increasing it or just keeping what we have? Is that, what was the thought on that?
So the thought on this one is that we already online have all of that information online in our, mm-hmm. In our mapping tool that we have there.
Okay.
So all of that information is already at the fingertips of any resident that they want.
Right. Okay. I guess where my mind went was, it doesn't keep us from increasing if we want to do more than what we actually have currently by removing that.
It's up to you.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
So I can address that. So the interpretive signs, we have interpretive signs.
Yes.
One site in each district. And so that does exist. Of course, there could be more, but kind of when it gets later to the infrastructure information, where we look at maintenance and things like that, and doing that assessment of all our sites is kind of where that would be, what would come out of that. We don't know if that's what would come out of that right yet. So we only have so many sites anyway, and so we're not sure. There might be a need for more signage, but I think it would come through that assessment rather than having it specifically identified right away, because there might not be even opportunity for wayfinding signs.
Yeah.
They're different than interpretive signage, so they're two different things too.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we weren't limiting us.
No, so I think later on, yes.
Is what we have, and that's
right. And there's always opportunity for more. I think it would come out of the assessment that we want to do. Rather than naming it too early if it wasn't something we were going to do. So, but we do have it already in one format, so.
Okay, thank you for that.
Are you okay with us removing it?
I'll check to, for everyone else. Anyone else have comments on this? Counselor, if you want to just put your mic on there.
So I just don't want to lose it. And so what you said, like if I was a resident, I don't know that I would know where to go for what it is that you said we've got already, like on the website.
You just have to navigate the website, and there's also a search function on the website.
We
can't have everything visible immediately on the front page,
you have to navigate.
And that really goes to the next point, C3, which is talking about a digital hub. So we're okay with the wording as is, because we've got that already.
So just going back to the other, everyone is good? Consensus around the table about C2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, moving on to A1, develop an accessibility implementation toolkit for municipal staff that includes a design standards, checklist, procurement guidelines, and templates for inclusive public engagement. We're recommending rewording to implement and report upon accessibility plan, because those are items that are all within the plan already.
Okay. Everyone's good.
Next item, create a community accessibility advisory committee to support ongoing co-design of facilities programs and communications with residents who face accessibility barriers. We're recommending rewording it, and that is to maintain the community accessibility advisory committee to support implementation of the accessibility plan, because we already have that committee in place.
Mm-hmm. Good.
B1, develop and deliver cultural competency and anti-racism training for municipal staff, council, and key community partners using local facilitators wherever possible. We're recommending rewording this to implement and report upon equity and anti-racism plan. So the anti-racism plan has a multitude of actions that are recommended in there, and we'll just continue implementing those action items.
Okay. Everyone's good.
B2, a dedicated staff position or contracted role filled by a community member to lead initiatives focused on equity, inclusion, and anti-racism with an annual work plan and progress report. We're recommending we remove this. A new EDI personnel item is recommended below when we come to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
It's in there, so if there's any question, we can always come back to it.
Yep.
B3, implement inclusive communications practices, including multilingual materials, alternative formats, and dedicated outreach strategies to better connect with underserved groups. We're recommending we remove this because it's already covered under the equity and anti-racism plan.
I see nodding heads.
Moving on, A1, partner with local health organizations.
This is community resilience, we're into now?
Yes, community resilience, 2.3. Partner with the local health organizations and educational institutions to host recruitment events, residency placements, or visiting practitioner programs, and we don't have a problem with that. That's something that we continue doing. A2, establish a municipal welcome support program for new healthcare professionals, offering relocation assistance, community orientation, and integration supports. We're fine with that. That's something we do already. Mm-hmm. A3, develop and implement a formal advocacy plan with provincial health authorities to support 24/7 ER access. We're recommending we reward this to continue advocating through the NSH Stakeholders Committee to support 24/7 ER access.
So I wonder with that one, CAO, if that should be broader and not just about 24/7 ER access. It could be supporting the best healthcare services possible for the community or something like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We can totally do that.
Mm-hmm. Is everyone good with that? Because mm-hmm. right now it's 24/7 access to ER, but you know, tomorrow or a year from now could be something different.
That's right.
Moving on, healthcare reserve, reallocating reserve. So as you know, right now, for the past 2 years, we've put $50,000 into the healthcare reserve. This year will probably be the first time that we're going to be tapping into that reserve for a specific healthcare initiative that we're going to be bringing forward to council in the not-too-distant future. I'm putting it out there if that's something you want to continue seeing on your budget.
I think so for now, for sure.
Brighter Days campaign, this is something that's contracted. We had agreed to provide financial assistance to the hospital up in Bridgewater, and that goes until 27-28.
Yeah, and that's $5,000 each year?
I believe it's $5,000, yeah. B1, conduct a comprehensive review of municipal bylaws related to noise, property standards, and high-risk behaviors to ensure clarity and enforceability. We're recommending a rewording to explore and review municipal bylaws and policies at the request of council.
I just don't want us to forget what the public have asked us to review or to research. And if we take those out, will we? I mean, right now it's just very broad, but I mean, we did have residents speak to the noise issues and different things like that. So is there a way? I just don't want us to lose that. Sorry, Deputy Warden.
No, and that's just what I was going to say. The sessions I attended, a lot of the residents brought forth the noise thing, and we don't want them to feel that we're not listening. So the rewording is fine. Can we put such as noise?
Or including or something
like that. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. You got that, Nicole?
Okay. Any other?
No, that's good. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Councillor Richardson?
With the implementation of our new bylaws, would it be a good thing to review before and after? In other words, what we had on the books and everything, the whole thing.
Review of all policies and bylaws? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not just talking. I mean, there's dog bylaws.
There's
a whole range of other areas. And with new residents coming on or in, mm-hmm. They have the expectation or whatever. It just review them to see maybe what's lacking or what isn't lacking.
I think that's a great idea because I know years ago, I think it was every 5 years, that's exactly what we did, was to go through them to see what was relevant, what needed changes, and whether or not we needed to add.
Well, then, and if nothing else, a refresher as to why or why not?
So this is actually something that's on an ongoing. So our deputy CIO goes through our policies on a one-by-one basis, and she's updating them, making them more relevant to today. And so that's why you've been having policies coming in front of you over the last few meetings.
So instead of saying like a five-year mark, it's just something that's ongoing.
It's just ongoing. So Aaron has been going through all the policies and just slowly updating them one by one. So there's quite a lot of policies there, and
yeah, there are
quite a few. You know, if you want any new policies, such as a noise policy or something like that, then that's something you can instruct us to do.
Mm-hmm. I do like the idea, though, of adding something, as Deputy Warden had suggested, about including. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How does everyone else feel about that?
I think we just have statement. To specify, because our residents asked for that during the meetings, so we need to hear them.
It's definitely one we want to research.
Yeah. Just on the noise one, I mean, when you come to your budget deliberations, there will be a budget item associated with that, which will be another personnel, because we don't have the personnel to manage noise bylaw. So, but that's for another meeting.
Yeah, that's for another discussion, for sure.
C1, support the creation of a community-based outreach program offering navigation, harm reduction supplies, and case management for residents at risk of homelessness. Recommending a rewording to fund a position for a crisis navigator. So this is a presentation that's been brought forth to the countywide leadership group. Kentville are probably the first and the only municipality in the province I'm aware of right now that have created a position for a crisis navigator. And that person's role is connected intimately with the RCMP. So when the RCMP are called out to a scene that's not a criminal scene, but it's really a social assistance, the RCMP hand it off to their crisis navigator, and then that crisis navigator then works with those people as clients to try and bring resources provincially or whatever, community resources, to try and help those people solve their particular issues. That's something for you guys to consider if you want that on the on there or not.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
So we know these kinds of structures set up in cities for the very reason that you've expressed. So is this a position that would be shared amongst other neighboring municipal units?
Yeah, quite potentially. I mean, we've set up the Municipal Joint Services Board Committee.
Yeah.
To look at joint services. So one of the positions that is initially going to be thought of is the senior services coordinator. And then another position could be a crisis navigator. Yeah. And that potentially would be something that you could sort of say, let's talk to the other units to see if there's an appetite there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's something you want to have a line item in your budget coming up or not.
Yeah, I'm thinking just with the rewording, I don't know that we should be saying fund a position, but maybe explore or something like that. I think the wording just needs to be different there. I think it's something for council to consider, especially if it's something that's countywide or regional or something like that. But when I read just fund a position, it feels more like it's just us.
Maybe say explore the funding with neighboring units above.
Okay,
I was wondering with this.
Those are cool.
Because these crisis situations aren't going to be an everyday issue. But so would that become a full time, or?
The person in Kentville is full time all day long.
Yeah,
She has no shortage of work.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And you know, in our municipality, we're continually getting reports of people in crisis. Just with the affordability crisis that's upon us, you know, I think it's something that is just going to continue.
Yeah.
And not that I disagree with it, I just wanted to get to see where it is, because, you know, like if you're starting to add what you just said, all those little things, they're not little, but you know what I mean, appear to like a wildfire, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, when, like the lady up in Kentville, when she gets a client, she works with them over, I think she says it usually takes them about, for about 6 months with a client to get them all the resources that they need. And with one client, I was, if my memory serves me correctly, she was saying that she could meet with them up to 100 times. So, and that's just one client. So it's...
Yeah, and it's something that we would definitely need to be looking to the province, speaking with our MLA and others, to be funding a position like this.
Yeah.
Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
And it's just that we are, you know, we are in the rurals, so we're not urban, and the frequency of these things might be less. And so to share with neighboring units, we're still putting something in place, because, as you said, you know, these issues exist here as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if we can get the populace into a state of wellness, we're doing some things proactively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the warden and deputy warden are sitting on that committee. So maybe that's an item you can bring onto the agenda for that committee. Next item, explore municipal support options such as access to land, modular buildings, or facility used to enable community organizations to expand temporary housing or wraparound supports. We're recommending we remove this. This is a provincial jurisdiction. It's not a municipal jurisdiction.
Everyone good with the removal of that item? And I mean, when we look at some of these, statements and desires, I guess, you know, there's sometimes the boundary is blurred between what's municipal, what's provincial and federal. And, you know, sometimes we just have different roles to play. So.
Yep. D1, pilot a collaborative water security program that includes well testing clinics, water literacy workshops, and coordinated emergency water distribution planning. We recommend we reword this to explore a collaborative water security program.
Good with that? Councillor Thorburn Irvine?
Sure. I just have a question. Who would that come under? Would that come under the Director for Protective Services, just out of interest?
At the present time, that's something that's coming under our Director of Operations. But because her role is going to be splitting, the Protective Services part of it is coming off of her and onto the new person. It's probably going to be the new person. And we've, like, for example, we've got the Community Well Initiative right now that we're working on, and we're anticipating that town may be bringing another water project to us to consider. So there's a couple of water projects in the works.
Okay, we're all good with that? Okay.
Support the expansion of local food access points by offering zoning flexibility, permitting assistance, or space for markets and mobile vendors. We recommend rewording this to continue supporting food security initiatives.
That's a good statement. Makes it broader. We never know what that may entail. So, everyone good with that? Okay.
E1. Develop partnership selection framework that prioritizes community initiatives aligned with resiliency, equity, and long-term community benefit. We don't have a problem with that, as is.
Okay.
Next item, this is coming from our previous budget, Woodland Model Use Trail Association. So on an annual basis, we do provide funding to them. I am in communication with the other CAOs and clerks in the county about looking at a intermunicipal agreement for a number of groups that seek funding with all of the units, whereby we actually look at maybe, let's say, a five-year funding program for the different groups, and then we bring those individually to the councils for councils to consider.
That's a great idea.
So that would, because right now what happens is a number of these groups come to us every year looking for funding. So right now what we're saying is it'd be better if those groups meet with the CIOs and clerks and the City Housing Clerks agree on a funding package over an extended period of time. That way, council knows what their funding commitments are for a period of time, and the groups also are aware of what their, you know, funding sources are going to be for a period of time. And it takes the uncertainty out of it on an annual basis.
I think that's a great idea. Councillor Richardson?
Just to make sure I understand that and the fully support, so there would be intermunicipal agreements, well, when I think of things like the trail, which wouldn't just pertain to us, but could be shared. But locally, whether it be the arena, of course, again, it's different municipal units.
Yeah, so the multiple Woodland multi-use trail is one of the groups that is countywide.
Through the county, yeah.
So there's the ground search and rescue, Barrington Ground Search and Rescue, which is, you've got Southwest Nova Transit, mm-hmm. which is a common one. Senior services, of course. So there's a number of those that we can get together and agree on.
Yeah.
Together, local things like the arena or the curling club and stuff. That's something that'll have to go through our grants to organizations program.
Yeah. Be a bit of relief for organizations to know going forward what they may have there.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Excuse me. Yeah, because. I guess I was under the understanding that there had been requests from different organizations, whether it be the arena, the curling club, and so on, that they're running into volunteer problems along with a lot of other groups. And they were suggesting that somehow we come up with a coordinator for several of those.
Yeah, this is a discussion we've had in previous councils. And.
Yeah.
I believe the agreement amongst councillors at the time was that there is no one person that's going to have skills
yeah.
that's going to be able to service all of these groups. You know, someone who's managing an arena is going to have a different skill set than someone who's managing trails. And of course, it's a decision that council has to make as to whether or not you want to fund someone like that. But that sort of goes to the next item here, which is an EDI coordinator. So that's EDI stands for Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Coordinator. So residents may not be aware that the province mandated that municipalities come up with an accessibility plan and also an anti-racism plan, an equity and anti-racism plan. So those are now in place. So now that we have the plans, we actually need someone to actually implement those plans. And so right now we don't have the personnel to do that. So the five units within the county have actually put out an RFP for a consultant to fill that role. So I would expect in January you'll probably have a staff report coming in front of you to consider participating in a county-wide EDI coordinator position.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So we're just moving on to the economic section. We got a couple of residents here. Did you want to have some muffins or anything there? There's some coffee and tea.
Water.
And I don't know if council wants to get up and just.
Well, I was thinking that we could break maybe at 10, but unless.
Do you mind if I just get a glass
sure.
of water?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyone else need a quick break? No? And maybe we'll plan one at 10, for like 10 minutes.
Sorry, I'm late. I was late this morning. I had to get kids on the bus. I just got a text message. One of them missed the bus.
Oh. Yeah. My dear.
My mouth's getting a little dry.
Excuse me. Yeah, we'll plan a break around 10, probably 10 minutes. It'll be an hour and a half in.
We're actually moving through this
pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
Okay, are we waiting for, or just waiting for Councillor Kuhl? We're going to have a break at 10 as well. Okay. Get everyone settled back in and we'll start on this economic development.
Yeah. I just want to double check.
Who's going to get a comment over there?
I just want to reach out. Charlene, I don't know if you're still watching. I just want to double check that you're able to hear everything and see everything okay.
Yes, everything's good and clear. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Charlene.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, we'll move on then. We're now into the economic priorities, economic diversity. Item A1, complete a comprehensive land and asset management or asset assessment to identify underutilized, previously developed, or strategically located sites for potential revitalization, considering infrastructure needs, accessibility, environmental constraints, and mixed use potential. We're okay with this. This is something that our Director of Economic Development does on an ongoing basis.
Yes. Okay.
Develop a revitalization framework to guide how identified sites can support community and economic development, including opportunities for housing, business expansion, and community amenities. Once again, we're okay with this. This is something that our Director of Economic Development and the Economic Growth Committee deals with.
Okay.
The next item is a previously budgeted item, and that's buyback agreement for industrial parkland. So there is an agreement for a piece of ground in our industrial park where there's a buyback option that is going to take effect in 2026. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming you want us to keep that on the budget.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Next item, B1, create a suite of business-friendly policy options such as property tax adjustments, incentives for revitalizing vacant properties, or reduced administrative barriers to support investment and redevelopment. We're recommending a rewording to explore a suite of business-friendly policy options such as property tax adjustments, incentives for revitalizing vacant properties, or reduce administrative barriers to support investment and redevelopment. So just a slight rewording there.
Much better statement. Everyone good? Okay.
B2, establish a coordinated outreach program to promote available municipal lands to investors, developers, and regional partners through REN, the Chamber of Commerce, and Economic Development Committees. We're recommending a rewording to promote available municipal lands to investors, developers, and regional partners. So it's
okay,
a bit broader.
Sometimes that's the best way to go so that we can capture all opportunities. Everyone good with the revised statement?
Moving on to C1, launch community business municipality communications platform to support ongoing collaboration, share updates on economic initiatives, and highlight opportunities for investment or partnership. So we're okay with this wording. It's something that we continue to do.
Good.
A1, implement, so we're on to housing development, implement policies and supports to encourage development of affordable mixed income and purpose-built rental housing. We're recommending a rewording to implement policies and supports to encourage development of affordable mixed income and purpose-built housing. So slight rewording.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's good? Mm-hmm.
A2, launch a surplus lands program to make suitable municipally owned properties available for housing development, prioritizing affordable and mixed income projects. So this is, we're okay with this. This is something that's actually ongoing.
Yes.
With the Economic Growth Committee.
Mm-hmm.
A3, introduce e-permitting tools to streamline planning and building approvals, improving predictability and reducing administrative barriers for housing projects. So we're in the process of implementing a new e-permitting platform. So I'm anticipating that that's going to be fully in effect probably within the next couple of months.
Excellent.
Complete a housing needs assessment to provide data and recommendations that inform land use planning, policy updates, and partnership development. We're okay with that as is.
So there was a housing needs assessment done by the province 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So this is to augment that, or what?
And we updated that ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is probably something that's going to be done on an ongoing basis, but Director of Economic Development.
It is part of our contract with CMHC for our Housing Accelerator Fund that we complete a new housing needs assessment. I believe
it's, I get you to speak in your mic.
So it's I believe it's at the start of 2027 that we've agreed to do that. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you hear that back there? No, we already have an agreement in place with the Housing Acceleration Fund that that's something we have to do. So we'll continue to do that in the future. B2, integrate housing needs findings to into updates to zoning, development standards, and growth management policies to better support attainable diverse housing options. We're okay with that as is. We do have a previous budget item from last year's budget for land acquisition. I believe there's something like about $100,000 left in that fund. So I'm assuming you want to have that on your budget deliberations. Yes. In February.
For discussion then, yes.
Collaborate with employers and post-secondary partners to develop scholarships, bursaries, and incentive programs, such as the student sponsorship program at Roseville Hospital, to support education and training in high-need sectors. We're recommending a rewording to collaborate with employers and post-secondary partners to enhance education and training opportunities in high-need sectors, so a slight rewording.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's good? Okay.
A2, partner with local businesses to create co-op placements, apprenticeships, and mentor opportunities that build pathways for training and employment. We believe that's a duplication of A1, so we're recommending that we remove that.
Good.
A3, support employers in developing sector-specific skill-building initiatives, including short-term credential programs, and on-job training development through local regional training providers. Once again, we're recommending we remove that because it's a duplicate of A1.
Cover all of that, yes. Good.
B1, complete a workforce and community needs assessment that identifies barriers related to housing, childcare, transportation, and community services, along with the opportunity to strengthen retention. We're okay with that. It's something that we do right now. B2, establish a municipal welcome and integration program for new workers and families, offering orientation resources, community connections, and relocation support in partnership with local employers. So we're okay with that wording.
Okay.
Can I just add?
Councilor.
The initiative that Davey Hartley had commenced this year, which we were part of, I mean, that just fits hand in glove with that kind of statement. So it's excellent.
And moving on, C1, collaborate with service providers and regional partners to expand reliable cell phone and broadband coverage in key residential and commercial areas. We're saying, recommending we remove that because it's a duplication of the actual objective.
Yes.
And just for information, I did talk to Build Nova Scotia, so they are in the middle of their phase one, which is upgrading the 24 towers throughout the province, one of which is in Upper Ohio, which is going to be a Rogers cell phone. And I believe that there's going to be roaming ability with both Eastlink and Bell on that tower. Their phase two is going to be a much longer program, which I suspect will take up to maybe about 2030. They haven't committed to a timeline. and that is to get cell coverage to along all of the 100 series highways, as well as all civic addresses in the province. So the RFPs are now out, and so the province is going to be working on that from now until, you know, the next 4 or 5 years, something like that. So it's a big, big capital project.
Yeah, and so with the cell phone, with that coverage, that is provincial and federal?
Yes.
And so our role is to advocate?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're actually just recommending that that we remove that.
Because it's the objective, yeah.
So moving on to C2, develop municipal support such as workplace grants, technology subsidies, or initiatives, incentives, beg your pardon, for young entrepreneurs to strengthen remote hybrid work opportunities and local business creation. So we recommend we remove that. So the MGA doesn't allow direct municipal support, so we can't provide direct support to local groups. Okay. With that?
Well, if the MGA says we're not allowed, then.
Yeah. C3, promote local workforce with shared digital workspaces that help residences access tools needed for online work and learning. We're okay with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to the next pillar. So this is maintenance. So A1, complete a detailed inventory and condition assessment of essential municipal amenities such as roads, sidewalks, parks, and recreational facilities. We're recommending a rewording to maintain a detailed inventory and condition assessment of essential municipal amenities, brackets, such as roads, sidewalks, parks, and recreational facilities, close brackets, so a slight rewording. Mm-hmm. Okay with that?
Good. So instead of saying complete, we're saying maintain.
Yeah.
That was the difference.
A2, develop a multi-year maintenance plan outlining prioritized projects, life cycle schedules, and required capital and operational resources to ensure sustainable upkeep of essential community infrastructure. That's something we have in place already. Mm-hmm. A3, establish.
Sorry, CAO, yep. Before you move on. So we have that in place already. So instead of develop, are we just maintaining at this point?
Yeah, we can put the word of maintaining because it's, yeah, that's probably a better word to use. A3, establish public education campaigns focused on infrastructure maintenance completed by the municipality, snow removal, waste, etc. We're recommending a rewording to inform the public on major infrastructure maintenance projects.
Okay. Everyone good with that? Good.
Moving on, B1, so we're in the maintenance section again. So conduct a full cost analysis for essential amenities, including roads, sidewalks, parks, and recreation infrastructure to support budgeting and funding allocation. We're recommending a rewording to continually review budget allocations for essential amenities and infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Good.
B2, create a financial planning tool or template for forecast long-term maintenance and replacement needs, ensuring consistent tracking of capital and operating requirements. We're recommending a rewarding to maintain a financial planning tool or template to forecast long-term maintenance and replacement needs, ensuring consistent tracking of capital and operating requirements. So we already have our economic modeling
we're
tool
going
in place.
To maintain
Let's just
that.
Maintain it.
Good.
Now we're moving into a number of items that were previously budgeted. So explore drainage issues at 414 Woodlawn Drive here. This building, so we have encountered a number of drainage issues, so mm-hmm. we'll keep that on the budget going forward. Implement signage for building administration, so you just had the staff report on that. We'll kind of be getting back to you on that. Mm-hmm. Implement hearing accessibility upgrades, baffles, electronics, and new glass. So that's something that's an OH&S issue, so we will be going out to RFP for a number of the upgrades within that front reception area. There's quite a few hearing issues there for staff and for residents.
And is that something, CAO, that we're getting funding through the province?
We've already received funding
yes.
for it. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, it's federal funding for that program.
Federal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Next item, C&D site, depending on council decision. So that's something that's going to be in front of council tomorrow night mm-hmm. For a decision on that. New waste diversion vehicle, so that's in 2728. So that'll be scheduled based on the mileage for that year. The next item is a new item that's going to be presented coming forward, and that's the inspections for the two bridges, Tom Tigney and the Roseway Bridge. So that's something that we have to do. We can't get mm-hmm. can't avoid that. Trails brush clearing, and then trails grading. Those are in 2829. STP solids removal. So at the sewage treatment plant, so I think it's every 5 years we actually have to take the solids out of the pond and then put them into large sacks to dry out, and then we have to then dispose of that. So that's scheduled for 2829.
Can I just pop in quickly sure. on that? The new polishing wetland that we're in the process of constructing may result in a little bit of an extension on the time required between sludge removals, but that will only be determined once the polishing
yes.
wetland is active and we're able to measure the sludge depth.
Thank you for that.
New recreation department vehicle would be slated to be replaced in 2829. And then bridge inspections in 2930.
Can I just clarify on that as well? So the Tom Tigney and Roseway Bridge inspections in 2728 compared to the bridge inspections 2930. So the ones in 2930 are like every 5 years we're required to do inspections. The Tom Tigney and Roseway Bridge are on there as visual inspections, meaning those two bridges require repairs within the next 2 to 3, maybe 5 years. Well, 5 years would be good, but that way we can have inspections done that are cost quite less to really find out what state they're in. Can their life be extended as is type thing? So that's why they've been added in as kind of a preliminary inspection before you move ahead with maybe repairs and whatnot. So that's why they're both in there and close to the years.
So being proactive with it, the bridge inspections. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to 4.2 planning and development. A1, complete a comprehensive recreation needs assessment to identify gaps and opportunities across parks, trails, and amenities, including features such as ATV routes and dog. I'm not too sure. I think that's been cut off.
Dog park?
I think dog park, yeah. So we're recommending it be removed because it's a duplication of the actual objective.
Yeah, I wonder if the dog park can go into the objective as well, just because that is one, again, that was something that was brought up during the strategic planning sessions.
The plan's already been approved. Our strategic plan's already been approved, so we...
Yeah, but for anyone reading this,
yeah.
it's nice to still have, you know, the same as when we talked about noise bylaw instead of just saying including...
Yeah, we can put it as an object.
Yeah.
Like, we can adjust that wording. A2, develop an action plan based on assessment findings, outlining phased improvements, required partnerships and potential locations for new expanded recreation amenities. We're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
B2, conduct a full feasibility assessment for a multipurpose community recreation facility, including capital and maintenance cost estimates, functional requirements, potential partnerships, and funding sources. This is a huge item, which will be this full strategic plan and maybe another one after that.
Okay.
So we'll have to figure out what those phases are
right.
and pulling that together. So that'll be something that Adam will be working on. C1. Upgrade key public spaces, such as installing permanent accessible public washrooms, extending facility hours, and enhancing amenities like parking, signage, picnic tables, water taps, and waste recycling stations. We were recommending that be removed. It's already built into maintenance of our sites. seems to be related more to town or public infrastructure.
Okay. Everyone's good with that removal?
C2, complete a rural transit feasibility study to explore options for localized transit solutions, including integration with services like Southwest Nova Transit and potential food delivery models to support mobility and food independence. I would recommend we remove this. It's already done by Southwest Nova Transit, and it's not a municipal core service. Just as a matter of interest, Southwest Nova this year actually started to look at food deliveries as well.
Okay. I'm just... Okay, so they've already completed this study, have they?
Yep.
Okay, and it does include food delivery?
Yep. In fact, okay. They started it this year.
Okay.
Yep.
My mind, of course, went to the food share and what's taking place there. So
yep.
I just want to make sure that there's that's covered.
Okay, now we're coming into a whole series of sort of infrastructure-related budget items that were from last year's budget that were approved, and then also a number of issues that are going to be presenting at this upcoming budget going forward. So I'm just going to read them off. If you have any questions or interruptions, just sort of jump in. So the first one is the Jordan River Bridge rehabilitation. So we did go out to RFP. We engaged an engineering firm who will be working on pulling together an RFP. We have secured both federal and provincial fundings to go towards the rehabilitation of the bridge. So it may be a rehabilitation, but it also may end up actually being a complete replacement of the bridge. Mm-hmm. The next one is the Jordan Youth Park upgrades. So that is in progress right now. So there's been some public consultation, and that'll be in the planning stages coming up. Public Works building efficiency upgrades. So the building is quite an old building, so we are probably going to have to do some energy efficient upgrades in 26-27.
Hopefully there'll be funding for that as well.
We're always looking for funding.
Yeah. Yep.
Rebuild backup pump for Venrez. So one of the pumps right now needs to be rebuilt. That's something we can't avoid. Planting and commissioning, polishing wetland. So right now the wetland is being built right now as we speak, and then the planting and commissioning part of it is in 26-27 and also 27-28. We'll be looking at putting an RFP out for a public works building design. This is something that was requested by council last year. We haven't yet gone out for that, so I'm anticipating we'll probably have that on for 27-28.
Yeah, and that was just kind of exploring.
Yeah, so we'll put out an RFP for a design, and then that'll basically bring information back to council as to, you know, what would the anticipated future cost of a building like that be. Mm-hmm. Because right now our public work building is pretty old, mm-hmm. And at some point we are going to have to replace that building.
A question on that. In hopes that when we redesign that, it would be an inclusive as much as possible. In other words, we keep everything under one roof.
Yeah, so and that's something we're going to have to talk to council about. But you know, we're desperately short on storage space, so we'd envisage, you know, a large storage component to that. All of our office space right now is used up in this building, so it's possible that you could have some more office space in that new building. And it's also possible that we'd look at relocating that building to this site as opposed to the old site. But these are discussions that we can have with council closer to the date to identify exactly what it is you'd like to see in that building.
And that's why I just raised the inclusive.
Yeah.
In all those aspects, I think we have to consider.
Thank you.
And in 27-28, we'll have to do upgrades to the Welcome Park gazebo. 27-28, we'll be looking at sewer pipe replacements on Clover and Commission Street. In 27-28, we'll be looking at interpretive site roof replacements. And 27-28, we'll be looking at sewer pipe replacement on Hero Road.
What does that entail? What you don't mind refreshing our members.
So that's, we go ahead, Marcia.
So we had an infrastructure report completed by RV Anderson, and they gave us a schedule of repairs needed to the various pipes, and that included a risk matrix that it basically said, these are the pipes that you should replace, and this is the order you should replace them in, right, based on sort of the consequence of failure. Mm-hmm. And if we had a failure at the Hero Road site, it would be fairly catastrophic because that's one of the sites that pumps up to our sewage treatment plant.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so you'll,
thank you.
Throughout our previous budget and the you'll see a whole series of sewer replacements because it's now coming to end of life. RV Anderson recommended upgrades to sewer for the abandonment of the Mayflower Road. We've got the Tom Tigney Trail Bridge. That would be a big ticket item as well. We'll be looking at interior, and that's 2028-29. We'll be looking at interior painting for the common areas here in 414 Woodlawn Drive. And that's actually something that's mandated in our agreement with our federal tenants. 2029, I'll be looking at sewer replacement on Commission Street. 2930, be looking at Public Works building roofing replacement. And then 2930, sewer pipe replacement to Roseway Hospital. The next items are new items that you haven't seen yet. For depending on the decision that's made tomorrow night, we'd be looking at C&D site improvements and safety rails. sewer plant bathroom. So this is an occupational health and safety requirement that we actually have to have a bathroom in that facility. The piping and the everything's already in place, but the bathroom's just not installed there yet.
Okay.
The sewer treatment plant equipment replacement. So there's some equipment that needs to be replaced there. The sewer treatment plant aerators assessment and replacement. The sewer treatment plant new shredder macerator will have to be replaced. So what we're noticing in the sewer plant is we're now coming to end of life in a number of the components of that. So probably over the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to start to see a number of items having to be replaced in the sewer plant. Mm-hmm. We have to repair and improve our dog kennel. We have to do public works building OH&S. So there's going to have to be a number of upgrades to that building to comply with OH&S requirements. Public works equipment purchases. So these will be things like whippersnippers and that type of thing that need to be replaced. Suspended solids analyzer. So that's something that we now need because we're going to have the wetlands polishing pond in place. A SCADA system, so this is an electronic system. So everything right now at the sewage plant is all done manually by paper. I don't know if you remember when we visited the Argyle sewage plant.
Yes.
He was showing that everything is online. It's all digital. And that is the SCADA system. So we don't have that. So that's something that we'd like to install within our sewage plant.
And they were indicating at the time that was very user-friendly.
Yes. And it gives you live information on exactly how your plant is performing at any point in the day.
Stats.
And you get alarms and everything that can come straight here to the office. We would know about it.
Mm-hmm.
A new lift station pump at Venray Station, so 2627. Portable sampler for polishing wetland. The purchase C-can for storage, so we're desperately short on storage space right now. And then there are some upgrades that are going to be required for the HHW site as well. Now moving on to sustainable fiscal management, A1, conduct an annual resident survey to understand perceptions of tax value and use results to guide communication, budgeting priorities, and service improvements. So we're recommending we remove this. Public feedback will not be included, will now be included in the budget process. So we'll now have residents that'll be sitting in on our budget deliberations, and they'll be able to provide councillors with direct feedback.
And with all of this process, there is kind of like a report card, is there not, at the end of...
The budget process?
Well, I don't know if it was at the end of the budget process, but overall, I'm thinking that there was part of the process, there was supposed to be some sort of a reporting, or for lack of a better term, a report card. Maybe I'm missing that, or maybe it's something else.
No, I mean, our budget process has always been...
Yeah, not just budget.
Yeah.
But overall.
Are you talking about our...
Strategic planning, I thought that there was like some sort of a...
I think I know where you're headed.
Okay, Deputy CAO?
So we're talking about the quarterly updates of the strategic plan and the progress report of those.
Yes, thank you. That's where my mind went when we were looking at that. That there is an opportunity for that information to get out there as part of communications.
Yeah, we haven't fully identified exactly what their report's going to look like yet. But right now, you get a quarterly financial report. So what we anticipate is going to happen is you'll have a written component to that as well that's going to be talking about the different directors and the departments about what their priorities are that quarter and what they've been working on. But we'll probably also be looking at the spreadsheet with a column that just gives an idea of where that is, like complete, ongoing, that type of thing. So you basically do a quick scan and identify, you know, where a certain priority is at or a certain action item is at.
Great. Thank you.
Wharton.
Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Thank you. So I don't mind if A1 gets lost, given that the integration of public feedback will now be included in the budget process. But how will we continue to message the public on the values of where their tax dollars go? So because every single budget cycle, we get people saying, what value do I get for my taxes? So there is that component of education. And I don't know if we roll that into one of our newsletters.
So we already provide that report.
Yeah.
So after the budget is approved in April, the Deputy CAO works with our Director of Finance to pull that report together. So it's something we already do.
Okay.
So people just have to go and look for it. I mean,
that's the reason I'm mentioning it, just so that it comes up again in the public's mind.
The information is on our website, but we also put something in our newsletter as well with the pie chart and other information.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Deputy Wharton.
And just to come back on yours, I think we've been doing that for quite a while since I've been sitting here. We cannot force our public to read it. We can just continue to keep putting it out there on our website, newsletters, and all the rest, and
have
them that way. But it's there if people want to look.
But you also know the expression of the public. That's always out there. It's always a consistency.
And it's always going to be.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're good. Moving on to A2, host citizen assemblies on key municipal issues such as tax levels, service expectation, infrastructure priorities, and public summaries to ensure transparency and public understanding. We're recommending we remove this. Public feedback will now be included in the budget process. So the idea is when you'll have your first public meeting on February 26th, where you're going through all the budget items, and then residents will be able to sit in on that. And then they'll have an opportunity to send emails or telephone you or whatever to the various councillors within their district and provide feedback that way.
Deputy Wharton?
And the same thing. We'll be putting those dates out in our newsletter and on our website and Facebook page and stuff to allow them to know, right?
A3, maintain fiscal health by monitoring core indicators such as reserve levels, debt ratios, and long-term obligations and linking them to decisions on grants, programs, and operational spending. So we're okay with that as is. We have to provide a three-year actuarial report, 2028-29, so that's an item to be included. B1, update long-term financial and economic forecasting models prior to each budget cycle and incorporate these models directly into council's budget deliberations. So as you're familiar, we already do that with our economic model, and that's how our budget is structured. B2, develop an accessible financial briefing packages for council and residents that explains model assumptions, projected scenarios, and budget implications. So that's something that we've just been talking about.
Yeah.
Integrate economic modeling into annual planning and reporting processes to ensure evidence-based decision-making across all municipal departments. So we're recommending we remove this. It's a duplicate of B1.
We're good with that? Councilor Richardson?
Just a question on the economic model. So we are there with our model, and we're happy with how it's functioning, and there's no new and improved versions?
Every year we're updating it, and the strategic plan has thrown all kinds of complications into that model. So
that's what I was wondering.
So our director of finance is working with our auditors to update the model so that the model reflects the strategic plan. But like all economic models, there's going to be annual tweaks. So we've been tweaking it each year ever since we originally built it.
I was just wondering if there was anything major that, you know, made it a shortcoming, but
strat plan. It's pretty major, so Michelle's been working on that.
Well, hopefully it's robust enough to,
yeah,
to spit it out the other end.
It's a fantastic tool, and we're really happy with it. So moving on, A1, publish a yearly public progress report on strategic plan summarizing achievements, ongoing work, and challenges in accessible formats, both online and in print. And we're just suggesting we reward that to provide council regular strategic plan updates, which are available to the public. Timing still to be determined. So we haven't at the staff level figured out what our timing is on when those quarterly reports will land on your desk.
Yeah.
We're also trying to figure out, like in the private sector, for example, you'll have three quarterly reports and then an annual report that comes at a much later date. So we're probably going to have three quarterly reports and then an annual report after we approve our next budget, something along those lines. But that's something that staff still have to kind of figure out. So we haven't got there yet.
Yeah, and that's really what I was referring to when I was saying about the report card, I think, more about this progress report that had been mentioned.
Yeah, so. I think that instead of a progress report, I think just refer to it as like a quarterly report, a quarterly update report, and included in that will be the spreadsheet that will identify the progress of the different action items. A1, publish a yearly public progress. Okay, that's, I just talked about that. Okay. A2, host an annual community update session, virtual or in person, to walk residents through progress, invite questions, and gather feedback on emergency priorities. I'm recommending that we remove that. It will be included in our regular reports.
Okay. Everyone's good with that?
B1, establish the Equity and Anti-Racism Committee or equivalent as a standing committee of council with formal terms of reference, and integrate its recommendations into municipal planning reporting. So we're okay with that. Next item, expand municipal partnership opportunities by developing a collaboration framework that identifies potential partners, shared goals, and methods for co-delivering community initiatives. We're recommending that it's removed. It's already covered by committees of council.
Okay. Let me think about that. So I'm thinking about other organizations.
So this is under the governance framework, governance pillar. So this is how we operate internally.
Uh-huh. Trying to wrap my mind around the statement. Sorry.
The community section is the area that deals with sort of outside groups, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So right now we've got all of our committees of council, yes, that really deal with collaboration, uh-huh, in community, and you know, like the economic growth committee, for example.
I think B3 speaks to Borden's point when we get to the next one, so it doesn't get lost. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Are you okay with us removing that?
Everyone fine with that?
Sure.
Removal of B2?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, B3, create an open call for partnership proposals from community organizations on issues such as equity, culture, environment,
yeah,
and community well-being. We're recommending remove, too vague, not a defined action.
I don't know that we want to remove both of those, do we? Any questions, comments yeah, from council on this one, Deputy Warden?
Can we call it just create an opportunity where partnership is proposed for council involvement or something like that, instead of deleting the whole thing?
Yeah, because
so it has that door that if something comes up and they feel that council can be a partner to it, we want to have that opportunity to be part and have something to say.
Would that just be covered under the objective? Does the wording under the objective cover
for meaningful collaboration and partnerships with local organizations and shared initiatives?
So right now,
that's really what you're saying in B3. Mm-hmm.
So right now the mechanism is groups will come and ask for to present to council. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we already do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the concern with that one is the wording of open call, like to say to the community, anyone who wants to come and partner with us, come and do that, and we'll explore that. I think that to do that all at once is a lot. So as people require, you know, some assistance with things, they tend to come to us. But I think having those conversations in your communities is helpful for that as well, and knowing what's happening in your communities and inviting people as things pop up. But to have an open call is a lot of information all at once for staff to deal with and for councillors to deal with, yeah, as well.
But yeah, as you say, the objective does say increase opportunities,
yeah,
for meaningful collaboration and partnerships.
And we have our grants to organizations set, mm-hmm, up already, so people can come in and get, okay, funding that way.
Okay. Are we good with the removal of that statement, B3? Or it is under the objectives, okay.
All right, moving on to C1, deliver regular public education sessions on communication campaigns explaining the roles and responsibilities of municipal, provincial, federal governments and how the municipality advocates on residents' behalf. We're recommending a rewording to enhance public education on the roles and responsibilities of municipal, provincial and federal governments.
Mm-hmm. Straightforward, good with that, everyone?
Next item, maintain a consistent advocacy presence with other levels of government using position statements, briefing notes, and coordinated messaging to advance key community priorities. We're recommending a rewording to maintain a consistent advocacy presence with other levels of government to advance key community priorities.
Sounds good. Everyone good with that?
C3, develop accessible education materials, videos, infographics, guides, etc., to help residents understand advocacy efforts and how policy decisions at other levels affect local services. So we're recommending this removed. It's really outside of the municipal role.
At other levels, you're talking the province and the,
yeah,
feds, yeah.
Yeah, it's up to them to,
yeah,
to,
yeah, it would be that. It would be nice for all three of us, though, to collaborate on that, I think, so that the residents would know what we're responsible for, what the province is responsible for, and the federal government. But I'm not sure if there's anything, if we have something somewhere else regarding that. But Councillor Richardson and then Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
It's just so frustrating that it's a moving target. We see downloads continually. It would be fine if we had that firm line, but it seems like a lot of it's passed down. So it's very hard to communicate to the public what we're responsible for and not responsible for anymore. The lines become blurred and we're at the bottom of the heap and don't have the big decision. So it is frustrating, and I don't know how you clarify that. And I don't believe there's going to be any big initiative from the top to change all of the above, but I'm hearing more and more municipal governments are struggling under the downloads and the costs. It's just frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with the wording that we have here is it's talking about other levels of government, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Aaron had something to say.
Yeah.
I guess a bit of frustration, you know, and it's, like you say, it's
I think C.1 covers the education piece. But for C3, we've run into the issues of sharing information that's not necessarily ours to share. I think we're good with sharing what another level of government puts out, and it's important to residents that we do that. But to create infographics or to create different things that are for services that we don't own, and we may put misinformation out there, is always a concern. So that's one of the reasons.
A good example is the NSH, right? So we do share the infographics that they give us, and we put that out, but we don't proactively go and create infographics about their services.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, well, that's a perfect example, actually, because healthcare is a provincial responsibility, but you see the role that the municipality plays in it. Besides advocacy, I mean, the money that's put in the budget to help recruit and retain healthcare professionals and other initiatives. So, okay, Warren, so sorry.
Do you mind if I take a bathroom break?
Well, it's actually 10:03. Why don't we take like a 10-minute break? People can get a coffee, bathroom break, something to snack on, and then we'll continue.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Okay, it is now 10:15, so we'll get back to our meeting. And I'm going to ask everyone, when we're speaking, to speak directly into the microphone, because people are having difficulty hearing. So I'll be the one to do that as well, because my voice doesn't carry that well. So thank you, Councillor Kuhl, for that. All right, CAO.
Okay, thank you. 5.3, municipal restructuring. So 5.3A is about amalgamation. Thank you. A1, complete a full amalgamation feasibility review with neighboring municipalities, evaluating financial governance and service delivery implications, and presenting findings through a joint public session. We're okay with that. Establish a joint working group with partner municipalities to oversee the feasibility process, share data, and coordinate public communication. So an amalgamation committee is already being established. It's had its first meeting already. A3, develop clear public education materials explaining the amalgamation process, potential impacts, and next steps for community consideration. So this will be something that the amalgamation committee will talk about. Right now, we do have a place on our website where we are putting all of the materials related to the amalgamation on our website, so that residents and councillors can get access to that information. The two towns are also linking into that as well, so that their residents have access to the same information.
Excellent.
We've also created a dedicated neutral email address to the chairperson of the amalgamation committee, so that residents communicate directly with him, and they can do that right now. So that's already on our website. I believe we got that on already, Nicole. Thank you.
Yeah, I believe that was on Friday, maybe. Yeah. Deputy Warden, did you? Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to 5.3B. So this is a collaborate with nearby municipalities to identify shared service opportunities and assess the potential structure and function of a joint services board. So B1 basically says that. We're okay with that. B2, establish a regional shared services framework outlining governance, structure, cost, shared model, staffing implications, and service standards. So once again, another committee has been created with the five units of the county to consider a municipal joint services board. And just as a matter of interest, that is something that is happening in parallel to amalgamation discussions. So even if you do amalgamate three units in Eastern Shelburne, you can still have a municipal joint services board that has joint services with Barrington or Clarks Harbor. And B3, review advisory committee structures to create designated representation opportunities for diverse communities, including African, Nova Scotian, and other historical groups. Am I in the right one here? Yeah. And so we're recommending that be removed, because it's made up of, the committee's made up of councillors.
Yes. Okay. Everyone's good with that?
Moving on to operational efficiencies, A1 introduces a centralized complaint and service request tracking system to streamline workflows, improve responsiveness, and support evidence-based service improvements. This actually has been on our budget, but we haven't implemented it yet. because we're still formulating a communications policy. Once we have formulated that policy, then we'll look at getting that centralized complaint service up and running. A2, establish a process for annually reviewing internal workload and staff capacity to align resources with emerging community needs. So we're okay with that as is. A new item coming up, bylaw enforcement, public works supervisor, succession planning overlap. So we're anticipating a retirement of our bylaw enforcement officer, so we need to look at succession planning for that. Communication staff person, so 2627, this is an item to talk about and discuss at budget deliberation. And we're coming to the final items here. So B1, develop a contracting strategy that identifies municipal service areas where external expertise can increase efficiency or improve service quality. We would like to reword this to identify municipal service areas where external expertise can increase efficiency and improve service quality. So a slight rejigging of the words.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're good with that? Good.
B2, maintain a roster of pre-qualified consultants for specialized work, expediting procurement when resources or capabilities are limited. So we are doing that already where we can.
Yes. And that's for like a term, like a 3-year term?
Yeah.
For contract.
B3, document and evaluate consultant delivered services to inform future decisions on contracting versus internal capacity building. We recommend we reword this to evaluate consultant delivered services to inform future decisions on contracting versus hiring new internal capacity.
Okay, good with that? Good.
Okay, next one, explore new waste contracts. So in 2728, our general waste contract is expiring. And so we're actually talking to not just our shared service partners, but also Barrington and Clark's Harbor about potentially looking at a larger contract with all units involved. Mm-hmm. C1, expand communication channels beyond Facebook to include options such as reinstated local newspaper column and municipal email newsletter and mail bulletins to improve reach and accessibility. Just a note here, limited staff and financial resources to expand, need to investigate a new communication staff person. So I believe the warden and I, we saw a presentation just recently whereby, is it Victoria County had their, or Inverness County had a long-standing newsletter that they put out. Mm-hmm. And I think they spend, we estimated they're probably spending about $250,000 a year. They had a dedicated editor, the whole works on that. It's a full published more than a newsletter, I would
say. Yeah, it is.
So that, I mean, that's a big ask.
It isn't something that you see every municipality doing. It's
a big ask that's beyond the staff capabilities we have right now. So that's something for council to consider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was one of the residents' comments. Yes.
Yeah. C2, carry out an internal process review to identify opportunities to streamline workflows, reduce duplication, and improve the resident experience across municipal services. We're recommending a rewording to identify opportunities to streamline workflows, reduce duplication, and improve the resident experience across municipal services. So identify opportunities rather than carry out an internal process review.
And just going back to C1, when we talk about communications, we've got to realize, we have to remember that, you know, not everyone is on Facebook. So there are people who like to hear it on the radio when there's something important that needs, you know, the residents need to hear. You know, we need to be exploring every opportunity, every channel, I guess, that there is to ensure that our residents get the information that they need.
And union and non-union agreement negotiations are coming up next year. That seems to have, it almost seems like it was yesterday we did it before, and now it's upon us again. Occupational health and safety, maintenance and risk mitigation, so that's an ongoing item. And then we have an election item for 28-29. So that covers everything. So I don't know if you've noticed that as we've been going through this, our deputy CIO has been identifying assignments of which directors are going to be looking into each of these items. Mm-hmm. So between now and February 26, we'll be, Matt, when I say we, staff will be looking at these action items and identifying whether or not there's a budget item associated with it, and if there is a budget item, to come up with an estimated expense. And then we'll be inputting that all into the economic model. So on February 26, you'll be going through two aspects of the model. The first is our core services. Historically, we've been calling those our operating costs. Core services are the items that are repetitive each year, and then our projects. And our projects could almost be equated to a lot of these action items. So these are one-off items that happen just once, or they're intermittent. And the reason why we split the two apart is because the economic model projects 15 years into the future, and we apply an inflationary calculation to the operating costs. And we have to make sure that the projects don't get included in that inflationary calculation. And so that's how it is set up. So it's pretty much what we did last year. The process, I think, went fairly smooth last year. Mm-hmm. And we had a very, very long meeting. And the only difference this year is that the public will be sitting in on that process going mm-hmm. forward. Any questions?
So we're going to show on this document those that are complete, that have been completed in on the side, right? Was that what we were going to
do? So our first quarterly report will be...
I think that's what I'd suggested, was that we have something that shows on this drawing.
You're going to have your first quarterly report. Like I said, we haven't figured out the dates of that, but you're going to see this spreadsheet when it's retuned after Nicole has a go at it. And then we'll have a column there that'll identify status. So you'll see complete, ongoing, in progress, whatever, right?
Okay.
And we'll try and identify the years in the plan that we anticipate those are going to be tackled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Deputy CAO.
So I think when we talked about the completed items, they were completed in 25-26, which wouldn't necessarily make a part of this 26-2030 strategic plan. So are you suggesting that there would be something for the community to recognize we've already completed some of these things previous to the strategic plan?
Yeah. So I may be completely off the mark here, but when I was listening to this, my mind just went, you know, to this document and people reading this, and the changes that are going to take place with this document. Is there a way to capture that so that people can see that, you know, this is what we started with and this is where we are now?
And the reasons why something was removed?
Yes.
Okay.
That's where my mind went when I was looking at this document, because I want our residents to know that this was the starting document and this is where we are now, and these are the reasons why it looks different from what we began with. That's all.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have an explanation for each cell.
Okay.
I mean, this document is already out and in the public.
Yes.
Right? We'll just be putting a revised document up there, and there'll be some descriptive wording there that says, following the council's review of the possible objectives, these are the new objectives that we'll be going forward to council or budget deliberations.
Yeah.
And then at budget deliberations, you will then make a whole new set of decisions based on
Right.
The numbers.
So because we did remove a number of sections here, statements, I'm wondering if there can just be a general statement to say, you will note a removal of a number of statements due to...
maybe repetition, duplication.
Yeah, duplication or what have you.
We'll have some language at the top that will describe that.
Councillor Richardson and then Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Just maybe it's the refined or the working document. One be the proposed, what was proposed originally, mm-hmm. And it was refined down to a working document.
Yeah.
You know, if that covers it.
Thank you. Councillor Thorburn.
Just on that same theme of the working document or live document, will there be a way where, you know, we do have a start point, and then as we check things off over the 4 years, completion, work in progress, will there be something in that document that shows? So at the end of 4 years, I mean, we can all give ourselves an A if we've got all completed items. So I don't know.
So you're thinking something beyond the quarterly report?
So each quarterly report would reflect work in progress, items completed.
Yes.
And then if you looked over the 4 year period, oh my gosh, look at this. We got it all done.
I think that might automatically happen because we won't remove the completed items once they're complete. They'll stay in the plan as
right.
completed.
Yeah. Exactly.
So by the end of those 4 years, because we'll continue to update it every year during our budget process.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So by the end, hopefully we have something in each section that's completed.
Right.
Excellent.
Okay. Thank
just
you.
From a CAO's perspective, I do want to say that this list is more than daunting. It's, you know, our staff cannot do all of this. And so when we come to the budget deliberations, I'm hoping that council takes into consideration
we have to prioritize. I mean, it's not just staff capacity. It's going to be the money that we have to work with as well. So we have to try to work within both staff and financial resources, for sure. Any other questions, comments?
I'll just go to Charlene. We'll just see if she's still on. Charlene, I don't know if you can hear me. Did you have any questions?
Yep. I'll go over it again. I can't go back and look over the economy pillar, what has been done there. And I know you went over it briefly, but I can't go back and read it over. So once that is available to me, I'll probably have some questions, but right at this point, no, I think you've done a very good job of looking at our future, and thank you.
All right, and you can contact me directly, Charlene. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Okay.
Members, yes.
We do have a few residents here. I'm open to questions if you have any questions.
And you can always reach out to us via email as well if you do have questions.
Yep.
But if I do have a question for a specific,
Charlene, can you hold on a sec? We just got another resident who's asking a question. I'll come back to you.
Yeah. And actually, we'll have to get you to come to the mic just so that we can record it, please.
My only question is, these meetings are very important to the public. I have one at 8:30 or at 2:30. I come from the horse barn. In my horse boots, and I stink. But it's important enough for me to get here, but I still couldn't get here until after 9. 8:30 meetings, we can't have them.
Yeah.
Not if you want us to be involved.
So just this is a working staff meeting, so our staff work from 8:30 to 4:30, and, you know, we can't have our staff coming in, you know, after hours all the time, because we're going to be paying overtime to all of our staff to attend that, right? So, you know, for council meetings and that's definitely after hours, but this is very much a working meeting during working hours. And, you know, so we are going to be making this available for people to look at.
Right.
And then people can communicate directly with me as the CIO if they've got any questions. And they can also communicate directly with their counselors if they've got questions as well.
So there's no questions from the public here today, except for a few minutes now. So when you're giving us information while I'm sitting here, I can't make any comments. Is that the way the working meeting is for staff?
Today, like, this is what I'm doing right now is very much out of the ordinary. We don't usually do this. Like, in a council meeting, staff or residents wouldn't have the ability to sort of ask questions. And when we get to the budget deliberation part of it, we're not going to be doing this either, where you come up and you have a back and forth, right? The way we're going to be working in the budget is you'll be able to sit, listen to all the budget deliberations, and then you'll have, I can't remember what the timeline is. You've got sort of like a week or something like that.
About a week of feedback.
Where you can give feedback directly to your counselor saying, you know, I don't like this item, or you should add this item, or take that item off, or whatever, right? So you'll be able to communicate directly with the counselors. And so at that first budget meeting that we have with the counselors, they're not actually making decisions of, yes, we're going to have this. No, we're not going to have that. They're going to be looking at it, asking us questions, going through all of the numbers, absorbing it, and then they've got a week to think about it themselves. And then that's the week that residents can then go and talk to their counselors, give them their feedback on the different items, and then council comes back, and then they start to make the decisions.
Would that be at meetings that start at 6 so the public has an opportunity to be here?
The budget meetings or their working meetings? Well, no. Because,
oh, sorry. No, council meetings are at 6. Sorry, that's
yeah, it's because it's not a council meeting. It's a working meeting, so it'll be right during the daytime.
Yeah. Okay, but we'll be able to present questions and comments, and they'll be addressed at those meetings. If we come, we can get those answers.
Well, you're going to have to talk to your counselors, right? During that 1 week period, you can call up your counselor and have a conversation with your counselor.
Emails.
Right? Or send emails back and forth to your counselors. And then the next meeting, there's not going to be a chance for public to stand there and give their viewpoints. You've given your viewpoints already directly to your counselors. And then the counselors have to discuss amongst themselves based on the feedback they've received as to what their decisions are going to be.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is when you have a meeting and then we have a week to have questions, and let's say Penny's my counselor or Sherry, I can give those questions to you. And then at the next meeting, I can sit here and you guys could say, Cindy had a question and a comment, and you'll address it so we all know.
Well, I'm hoping during that week, if you're proactive and you get your question there quickly, we can probably get an answer to you before the next meeting. Mm-hmm. That would be the idea.
Okay.
Right. So counselors would come to us saying, I've got a question from a resident. I don't know the answer to this. Can you answer it?
Yeah.
And then staff will answer it.
Okay.
And just with the amalgamation, because you may not be aware yet, Cindy, but the amalgamation meetings, we're going to be having those at 6 o'clock in the evening from now on.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Because yeah, we really are interested.
Yes.
And with working kids and horses, yeah, sometimes it's hard to get here.
Yeah. It'll be in the new year, but they will begin it 6 o'clock in the evening.
Thank you for letting me speak.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Because just a heads up that budget meeting on the 26th, that'll be all day. It'll start at 8:30 and it'll go right through, because we have to do our core services and then we have to move into our projects. And last year, we barely got through it.
Yeah,
and it was an entire day.
Yeah,
and that's when? What month? On
February 26th.
February 26th. That'll all be advertised. Yep.
And that'll start at 8:30 and go to 4.
Yeah, probably. It actually might go to 4:30. I'm not too sure. We'd have to check, but it's going to be a full day.
Okay, thank you, guys.
You're welcome. And Deputy Warden, you had
a question. And it's not for you, Cindy, but would there be an opportunity, if we have public here, for those workshop meetings that we have, maybe they can leave a document into a, if they have a comment to make, they won't be able to present to us, but can they leave that before they leave the building that day? That if we have something that they can
put. Oh, I see what you're saying. Instead of them reaching out to their district counselor while they're here and have the questions in their minds, just to be able to write them and put them in the box, and
yeah,
then we deal with them.
Yeah, we could have a suggestion box. Question box.
Or questions,
but
yeah.
I think the feedback period afterwards is so people can hear the conversation, have an opportunity to really think about it and then submit questions.
And my thought is just that
but
at the
sometimes
moment,
there
they've
immediate
got questions.
Yeah.
Then they can be, you know, forwarded to all of us to understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Councillor Richardson?
Just further to that, the only concern I have there, I would like a name associated with it. In other words, if you're asking a question, you know, right, who would you respond to?
Well, I would think that form at the top would say name district number.
Yeah.
So that the counselor would know where it's coming from and the question.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Sorry. Oh, yes. Charlene.
That's quite all right. I'm just wondering, should we talk to the staff person that our question, or should we, that we have, or should we talk to, I guess, Penny, it would be you for our district right now, because Anthony's not there.
Yes, for District 4. That's correct.
Yeah. So would I talk to Adam if I had something regarding the ball field? So,
no, you can just send them directly to me, Charlene.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Anything further? Any other questions, comments, thoughts about the process? Anything? We're done early. We were expecting to be here for a little longer. Okay. Hearing none, it is 10:39 and we'll adjourn our meeting.